final time in our series from the Gospel of John today. And this is something that was said by Jesus only hours before he went to the cross. John chapter 17 is where you're going to go for this study this morning. But we want to say one last time, these words from the end of the Gospel of John that are a reminder of why this gospel was written down, and actually why all the gospels were written down. In fact, the reason why the entire Bible was written down. So please join me with these words one more time. These have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in His name. When they finished in the upper room, Jesus took his 11 apostles, because the betrayer was now gone, across the city of Jerusalem, heading for the Garden of Gethsemane, where he will pray a prayer three different times. If possible, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Because he was facing the hardest part of his human mission. And that is that point where he was going to become the atoning sacrifice for sin. And that is tough. But before he prayed that prayer, and the betrayer brought the arrest party into the garden, Jesus stopped somewhere along that path between the upper room and the Garden of Gethsemane, possibly at the temple building itself, and offered the longest prayer of Jesus that we have recorded. You know, we talk about the Lord's Prayer being that model prayer he gives during his Sermon on the Mount. I actually think this is the Lord's Prayer. If you've ever wanted to know what would Jesus pray for you and for the people around you, for me, my friends, my family, my brothers and sisters in Christ, this is the prayer that answers that. John chapter number 17 says this: these things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Even as you gave him authority over all mankind, that to all whom he has given him, he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. It was from this prayer that John got some of those words that we just recited. The understanding that Jesus came here to this planet in order to give God the Father to the people that he loved by, first of all, giving him to these 11 men, 12 men, once the replacement is put in place. These apostles are an important part of the gospel mission. And Jesus has poured himself into their lives over the last 3 years. And as we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, he is now getting ready to hand them over to the work of the Holy Spirit to finish the mission that they are going to be given, to give the gospel to anyone and everyone in the world that wants to have a relationship with God the Father. But Jesus on this night is very much aware that he's getting ready to go home. He says here at the beginning of this passage that he is getting ready to be glorified for the very purpose he came into this world. That means his death, his resurrection, and then his ascension 40 days later. Jesus says in verse number 4, I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. Now glorify you me together with yourself, Father, with the glory with which I had with you before the world began. Jesus is saying, Father, I want to come home now. That's where I want to go next. Bring me back to that glory we've always had for eternity past. But he says this about his friends, his apostles. He says, I manifested your name to the men whom you gave me out of the world. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they've kept your word. And now they've come to know that everything that you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I've given to them. And they received them, and they truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you did send me. Think about the relationship that Jesus has had with these men. Day in and day out, they were getting to know him better and better. Two of them were his cousins that he grew up with, but now they're finding out that he is much more than their cousin. They're all discovering he is the Messiah. But he is not just simply some sort of super prophet like Moses or like Abraham or Elijah or any of the others from the Old Testament writings. He is God in the flesh. And everything that he said, everything that he's done in front of them is from the Father. And Jesus needs them to absorb that and radiate that out into the world. Jesus says in verse number 9, I ask on their behalf. I don't ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom you have given me, for they are yours. All things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and I've been glorified in them. Jesus is not praying in this prayer for the people that are still in disarray, caught up in their sins and their transgressions, dead in those sins and transgressions. Jesus is praying for those that have already embraced the truth that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in him, putting their faith in him, they can be saved. Jesus is praying for them and by extension for us. Verse 11, I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I'm coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but for the son of perdition, so that the scripture might be fulfilled. Don't you know that that broke Jesus' heart to have to say that? Jesus called these men by name and appointed them as his 12 apostles, to follow him all over the countryside, to soak up his presence, to hear his word, to see his miracles, to have his Holy Spirit come upon them so that they could travel two by two throughout Galilee, throughout the lands of the Jewish people, and do miracles in his name. And that included Judas. And Jesus is now having to say to the Father, I'm getting ready to come to you. And I'm having to leave these guys alone without me. I've been their guardian, their protector, to make sure that they were not sifted like wheat by Satan in such a way that they were lost. And I kept them all safe, except for that one through whom his own free will he chose not to believe anymore. He walked away from the faith. But the scripture already knew it was going to be that way. Jesus says, "Now I'm coming to you. These things I speak in the world that they may know my joy is made full in themselves. I've given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world, even as I'm not of the world." Jesus knew that these guys were now going to be the lightning rods of all the negative attention that had been directed toward him. He's already told them that. He says, "The world hated me. It's going to hate you too, guys. And the reason it's going to hate them is because they believed his word. They believed the word of God given through Jesus the Son. And the world cannot abide by that because their hearts are hard against anything that God wants them to do in holiness." And so Jesus is praying so intently on behalf of these 11 men and the widening group of disciples around them that are going to be on the ground floor of the church. But he says this, he says in verse 15, "I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one." It's interesting that Paul writes later to the Corinthians about this idea that, you know, when I wrote my former letter to you and I told you to not be part of the world, I didn't mean that you had to remove yourself completely from the world, because if that were the case, how would we share the gospel? Jesus knows that he can't pray that God would pull these guys out of the world at the same time that he's leaving the world, because it would totally disrupt the gospel process. By extension, all of us need to understand we can't be jerked out of this world until God's timing says our witness is no longer needed to accomplish great things. We are in this world, not of it. We are the light of this world, not part of the darkness of it. And so we have to get up every morning and let Jesus' prayer be true, that we are not taken out of the world, but remain apart from it for his testimony. "They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." This whole series we've been talking about, listen to the word. And we've been talking about listening to Jesus, but it's not just simply the words of Jesus, it's his word in the larger context of the scripture itself. Peter will later write, "He has given us all things for life and godliness." Paul will write that every scripture is God-breathed and it's here for a purpose, to help us to know what we ought to teach and what we ought to rebuke and what we ought to fix and what we ought to learn from. This word was given to us by the word to make sure that we could live in this world as his witnesses, as his light. And these men were the first tier of those that had to do that. Verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I'm also sending them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves may also be sanctified in truth. There's a little bit of churchy language there in the translation, but it's the idea that Jesus is making himself holy, dedicated to the sacrifice for sin, so that these guys can be made holy, sanctified, ready to share that gospel. We are being made holy through his death. His name He who is salvation comes true in our lives so that we can share that truth with others. I'm not acting on behalf of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word. Do you see that? That's about me. That's about you. Because we believe today. We live our lives in faith of Jesus Christ today. Because these men first believed and shared that gospel with others, who then shared it with others, who shared it with others, until finally here we are, 1,990 years later, believing the gospel and reading about ourselves, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I'm in you, that they may all be in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. You know, one of the things that we saw about the love of Jesus Christ, Jesus said, you need to love each other. And by this, all others will know that you belong to me in how you love each other. A love, the love of God, the love like God's love, the selfless, I will do whatever it takes for the benefit of others, that love is what marks us as Christians. When the world looks at us, that is the primary thing they should see. If they don't, that's problematic. Because how can they understand that God loved the world, that he gave his only son, so that they could believe, if they can't see that love in us? So there is no room for bigotry in Christians. There's no room for prejudice of any sort in Christians. There is no room for spitefulness or division amongst Christians, because that will disrupt what Jesus was praying for here. And you don't want to disrupt Jesus' prayer. You want to answer it. So Jesus says, let the world know through their love that we are one, and you sent me. Verse 22, and the glory which you have given me, I've given to them, that they may be one just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, that the world may know that you did send me and did love me even as they did love me. There it is again, this emphasis on the idea of unity within the church. Unity around what? The Word of God. Jesus first and foremost, but his inspired word as well. That is what we are unified in. And when the world sees that, it has an opportunity to believe the power of God. We talked about this idea that the Holy Spirit comes and indwells us at our salvation moment. And this is the fulfillment of exactly what Jesus is saying here. When we are saved, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, who are all one, come and indwell us so that we are one with them. And that means that the Holy Spirit in you and in you and in you and our brothers and sisters in Christ down the street or across the world, that Holy Spirit makes us all one so that the world may know that Jesus came here to give that family relationship, to bring us back into relationship with each other, not just simply back into relationship with him. John the Apostle will write later, how can anyone say, I love God, but hate their brother? It's not possible, because God is love, And all those who love him love those who have been bought by him with the blood of Jesus Christ. A little bit more. I love this part. Verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you did love me before the foundation of the world. Have you ever gotten a postcard or maybe sent the postcard, and in it you said, wish you were here? That's Jesus. That's Jesus' prayer for us. God, I wish they will all be with me in eternity. He wants every last one of us and every last one of those that come into contact with us to one day be in his presence, to kneel before his throne, to know that they have been saved by the blood of the Lamb. That's what Jesus' wish is. And that's what we should live our lives trying to fulfill, because we want Jesus' prayer to be answered. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I've known you, and these have known that you did send me. And I have made your name known to them and will make it known, that the love wherewith you did love me may be in them, and I in them. Jesus' final touching words to God is, I came down here to let them know you, to know your name. The divine name of God in the Hebrew text is Yahweh, and it means he who is. He has no beginning. He has no end. He just always was, always is, always will be. And he wants us to be in his presence. When he created us to spend eternity in his eternal presence. And so Jesus was tasked to come down to this planet to carry out his part of the name, he who is salvation, to make sure that you, me, and anybody we come into contact has the chance to know his love, which caused him to create us in the first place and caused him to recreate us through the blood of Jesus Christ. Because the truth of the matter is, God would rather die than spend eternity without us. In fact, he did. Let's answer his prayer by sharing that truth as the Holy Spirit gives us opportunity this week. Father, thank you for Jesus' prayer. Thank you for the apostles. Thank you for the written word, which tells us about the incarnate word. Thank you for the salvation that those of us who have been born again already enjoy, and for the fact that we know that we now live with the power of the Holy Spirit, your very presence in our lives because of Jesus Christ. Help us to never keep that only to ourselves. Help us to share it generously with the people around us. Thank you, Father, for the word. It's in his name we pray. Amen.